become obvious in just a minute why I wanted to sing that, because the title of the sermon this morning is Jesus is Coming Again. Last Sunday we talked a bit about the second coming of Jesus and how that's one of God's grace periods. We can make a decision to accept Jesus as our Savior up until one of two things happen. Either our life ends or Jesus comes again. The second coming is a thing that we as Christians should look forward to with great expectation. And you know, it seems like we've lost some of that joy of expectation that Jesus is coming again and he's promised to return. We just don't seem to talk about it much anymore. We should be looking forward to that time of Jesus' return because we know that at that time God will fix all of the stuff that's wrong with this world today. All of the sin and darkness that we see in the world today will be removed, and the Bible tells us that at that time God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth where he will live with us. All of the stuff in our current habitation that was brought here by our sin will be gone, and our world will become a place of righteousness. Have you ever longed to be in a place where there isn't a constant battle going on in your body between the desires of your flesh and the leading of the Spirit? Well, right now we live in an environment where there is a battle going on for our soul, a battle to destroy our faith, a battle to destroy our witness. And if Satan can make a Christian look bad in the eyes of the world, he's accomplished what he desires to do. Have you ever just been driving along in the early morning and as the sun is coming up on the horizon, as Ruby pointed out, sometimes you can't even see the sun, but you can see that the sun's there because of the color. And just wondered if, you know, I wonder if Jesus is coming back today. Could be. A few years back when Mary Lynn was going through one of her bouts with cancer, I had a dream one night. I was walking along the road just enjoying the beautiful scenery, and all of a sudden, no matter where I looked, all I could see were clouds in the sky. It was like the ground had turned into a big mirror, and so that anywhere I looked, it didn't matter where, all I saw was sky. And I thought, what's going on? And then all at once, Jesus appeared up among the clouds as he was coming back to earth. It was a glorious scene, and I can remember how joyful I was, thinking, he's back. Everything's going to be all right now. I don't know if that's the way it's going to be when he comes back or not. I don't remember hearing the trumpet blow. I don't remember seeing any angels. I just saw him in the air in all his glory descending through the clouds. In Matthew 24:30, the Bible talks about what will happen when Jesus comes back. It says, at that time the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. His return was mentioned when he left this earth. In Acts 1:6, Jesus' leaving was recorded. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up into the sky, and before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were standing there looking intently up into the sky as he was going when suddenly two men appeared dressed in white beside them. And men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So the Bible says he's coming back on the clouds. Well, where is Jesus now? Where did he go when he disappeared into the clouds? In Mark 16:15, it says, then he said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. So the Bible says here and in other places that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God in his place of honor, waiting for the Father to say, it's time to go back. When will Jesus come back? Well, the Bible says in Luke 12:36 that no one knows the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah went into the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen to them until the flood came and took them away. That is how it will be with that second coming of Jesus. Therefore, keep watch, the Bible says, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. Even Jesus tells us that he doesn't know the time of his return. He is sitting there on the right hand of God, waiting for God to say, okay, son, it's time to go back and gather the faithful. Are there things that we should be looking for in this world that might let us know that Jesus' return is getting near? The Bible says there are things that we should be watching for. In Matthew 24, Jesus tells us and his disciples some of the things to look for. To start it off, he used an example of a fig tree. He said, now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things come to pass, you know that my coming is near, right at the door. With my farming background, in the spring, I always like to look for the pecan trees to start leafing out, because that's a pretty sure sign that any danger of a late frost has passed and you can start planting things that might be damaged by a late frost. So as we look at these things that might indicate when Jesus is coming back, we find these. It's listed in Jesus' words in Matthew 24:3. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will all this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered this, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Number two, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still yet to come. Well, that certainly is present in our world today. It seems like everybody's fighting everybody else. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and we certainly have those battles going on today. It seems like every country is fighting the other country for something. Number four, there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. If you look at the statistics today, we find that more earthquakes are occurring today than ever have in the past. Number five, and this is where it kind of gets scary. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. And just look how the Christian persecution is ballooning in just the last year. Maybe we're hearing more about it, but it's coming to our country. It's there. It's obvious. We're seeing it. Number six, at that time many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. This is certainly true. There are a lot of people who have said faith in Jesus Christ, but not a heart faith in Jesus Christ. And hate seems to be the word of choice today. If you disagree with me, you hate me. There's no room for tolerance, no room for another opinion, no room for disagreement. Number seven, many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. I got two number sevens. That's pretty cool. The other number seven, because of the increase of witness of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Number eight, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And certainly the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is being broadcast all over the world today. We still need missionaries. We still need Bibles for the people that want to read them and can't get them. But the Word of God is being spread all over the world. And then he goes on and goes down through the things that will happen in this world that lead right up to the Battle of Armageddon. You can read that if you'd like. It goes on through verse 15, from verse 15 to 25. But it gets us right up to that last final battle. And I love reading about that because all of the world's armies are joined together and Jesus comes down with his saints, and he just kind of goes, and they're gone. I mean, it's that simple. That shows the power of God. Well, what should we as believers be doing while we're waiting for Christ to return and watching for the signs of his return that might be imminent? Well, Paul in 1 Timothy tells Timothy this. Command those who are rich, and I say this because most of us in here are rich compared to the world. We have so much. Not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Where will these treasures be stored? Well, they'll be in heaven waiting for us to get there. So the physical things that we are collecting while we're on this earth will be of no value to us at the second coming of Jesus. And I think that's something that God has taught me in my lifetime. God has allowed me to do most of the stuff that I wanted to do. But it is amazing to me that most of the stuff that I wanted to do, which involved gathering more toys, never brought the enjoyment that I had anticipated. The Bible is explicit about that, and this is the same scripture I used for the quilts. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And then the righteous will say to him, Lord, when were you hungry and we fed you, or thirsty and we gave you something to drink, or when did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you, and when did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And he will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. What is important when Christ returns ties right into what we talked about last Sunday. When Jesus was asked what commandments were the most important, he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. If we love our neighbors as ourselves, then we will be doing these things that were mentioned above. Because of our love for God and our desire to do His will here on earth and wanting to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, which will bring to those who have accepted Jesus as Savior rewards in the age to come after Christ returns. The parable of the virgins is another example that Jesus gave us to make us be ready for His return. This parable is very representative of the second coming, because the Bible tells us that Jesus is coming back for His bride, the church, which is composed of all believers. One of the first things that will occur when Jesus returns is the marriage feast of the Lamb. In Revelation 19:7, it says, let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and His bride, the church, has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints, that love your neighbor as yourself. Then the angel said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. Now to understand this parable of the virgins, you need to understand some of Jewish culture. A woman would be betrothed to a man in marriage, but they weren't married then. The man would then go off to prepare a place for them to live and be ready, get ready for his bride to be with him. When he had finished those preparations, he would return for his bride. It could go on for quite a while. Many times the return was at night. He would claim his bride, and then the wedding celebration would begin and last for days. This parable tells a Jewish wedding story and is a parallel to Jesus coming back to claim his bride, the church. Because you remember that Jesus said in John 14:1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, his bride, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you may be where I am also. So right now, Jesus is off preparing a place for us, his bride, the church. Well, let's look at this parable of the 10 virgins. It's in Matthew 25:1. At that time, the time of Jesus' return, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom, Jesus. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but didn't take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and the virgins all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise ones, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were away to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins came back and said, "Sir, sir, open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch." This is Jesus speaking, "because you do not know the day or the hour I'm coming back." That brings us to the defining question in each of our lives. Into which group of virgins do you belong? When Jesus comes back, will you be begging for oil for your lamp or for just another chance to accept Jesus as Savior? Are you looking forward to Jesus' return because you know Him as Savior and know that when He returns, you will be caught up to meet Him in the air and be with Him forever? Or will we be one of those mentioned in Matthew 24:30, "At the time the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory." Why are they mourning? Because Christ is returned. God's grace period for accepting Jesus is over, and they've not accepted Jesus as Savior and are doomed to eternal punishment, separated from God. As Christians, let us make sure that we keep Christ's return in a highly positive focus. In Revelation 21:1, it tells us what it's going to be like when God makes all things new. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne of God saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who is seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' And then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And then he said to me," this is John speaking, "'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." Wow. Children of God. What more could we hope for? The Bible says now is the day of salvation. Don't be caught without a Savior when Jesus appears in the clouds. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you that all this is recorded in your word. We thank you that no matter how bleak things look around us, you're in control. You're going to make all things new when Jesus comes back. You're going to make it like you originally intended it to be before sin got in the way. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for Jesus who died on the cross so we can put our faith and trust in him and be saved, Father, because of what he did. And Father, if there are any here today that haven't made that confession of faith, we just ask that they might go to you in prayer and say, Jesus, come into my heart. Let your Holy Spirit guide me. I'm going to turn my life over to you, Father, and trust in what Jesus did on the cross for my salvation, and then be baptized and become one of your children, Father. We thank you for the many blessings. We thank you for your word. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.